CliffCentral.com.
In the studio with me, this is a real star. I mean, I said just now that you're probably the third best known, or certainly the third most successful export in terms of an actor in South Africa. And, you know, people don't know this because you've been in a lot of TV series. You've done a huge amount of work. But maybe because you haven't had that one massive starring role in a big blockbuster movie, they don't know you. Look at you, Sean Cameron Michael. Look at you. You're a massive success, huh?
It's kind of funny. I mean,
you look like a movie star.
Ah, thanks, man. No, I mean, I don't really, you know, I don't really think of myself as sort of being successful.
Listen, if you're an actor and you've got the amount of work under the belt that you've got,
yeah,
and you're working all the time and you're booked for more and more series and you seem to have an endless job card, it just seems to me like something very few actors, even in Hollywood, get right.
I think it's really about attitude. You know, I've been acting since I was like sort of 11, 12 years old. You know, I was brought up into a family, you know, where my mom was a dancer and my dad was a singer. So I've been acting since I was like 11, 12 years old, sort of started off in theatre and that.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in Joburg? Where are you from?
Cape Town, okay. Spent 4 years up in Joburg, did some TV presenting and did a goalie for a couple of months.
That's right, you were a drug dealer or something, right?
I was a drug dealer, Brett, yeah.
Right.
But I mean, my attitude has always been, you know, I mean, I just want to work, you know, I just want to work. That's, you know, that's always been my thing. So whether it's, you know, short films or music videos, theater, TV, voiceover, whatever, you know, that's it's been my passion all my life. So
It seems to me to be the smart way to go though, because a lot of people perhaps have this idea that acting is all glamour and glitz and doing the starring roles and you spend months on a set and that kind of thing. But actually, the really hard graft is just keeping working.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people sort of get into acting thinking, okay, you know, it's going to be all glamorous and they're going to make millions of dollars. And it really, really is, you know, especially, you know, when you're sort of starting out in your 20s. I mean, I'm now 45. So to sort of sustain a career over the course of 20, 30 years is, you know, is pretty tough in that sense. But you really, really need to be open to, you know, doing everything and anything. And what's like really cool, you know, over the past sort of 20 years, I've sort of built up a relationship with casting directors in this country.
That's important.
Absolutely. I mean, that really is what it's about. So very often, you know, I'll audition for a TV series or a movie being shot here, and I'll go for like a really, really cool role in it, and then they'll decide now they're going to bring in somebody from the States or the UK. But then the casting director will turn around to me and say, Sean, look, there's a part going. It's paying a couple of thousand rand a day. There's not a lot of dialogue, but you're going to be on set for 3 weeks. And I'm like, I'm there. Absolutely. Because, you know, for me, it's all about learning and experiencing, and every single job is different. You know, yes, you can train, you can sort of, you know, learn the basics of acting, whatever that is. But every single job is different. Every director, every producer that you working with, you know, they have different needs, they have different desires. So my attitude has always been, I want to work as much as I can, work with different directors and producers and actors, and learn and grow as an actor. So that's always been, you know, how I've approached it. It's always been a passion for me. It's never ever been about, you know, fame or fortune, because all those things are temporary, you know. Those are temporary things.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I remember being in LA, I was in Hollywood when Charlize won the Oscar in 2004, and I went to the Oscars, saw her win, went to some of the after parties. It was all, this is LA at its best, because most of the time it's a big parking lot, right?
It's crazy.
It's not a sexy place at all. People don't understand.
Yeah,
you've just spent 4 months there doing pilot season, right? This is where they cast all the upcoming shows, and they try to find people for the pilots. They can sell them to the networks and to the big studios. And so you probably stood in hallways and at castings for weeks on end.
You know what, Gareth, it was, the main reasons for me sort of going over to the States, I had recently got my permanent residency, my green card, so I sort of went over there to activate that. Also, season 2 of Black Sails was releasing, so I was going to do like
a lot. I want to talk about that show just now, because I've heard it's amazing. We haven't seen it in this country. Can you believe that? We film it here. We haven't seen it.
How absurd. I mean, Black Sails screening in 175 countries as we speak.
And not here.
We started shooting it at the the beginning of 2013. So we're now in 2015. But finally, it is arriving in South Africa. in 2 months. So,
amazing.
Yeah, no, that's it's so that's something to really to, you know.
So you were saying you went over there to activate the green card and
yeah,
to do all these
absolutely.
Things,
absolutely. You know, do that, and basically for the first time, really sort of check out, you know, the work scene over there. And I was lucky. I'd already got an agent over there. I'd been to the States about a year prior to that, so got an agent over there. But I mean, the industry in the States is. And it's so funny for me because, you know, I've been doing this for like sort of 20, 30 years, and I thought, okay, cool, you know, I know how it works. But absolutely, the States is very much it's a referral system. You know, yes, you know, I met with, you know, had my agent over there, finally had to get a manager as well. It's a whole thing about you need to have a team behind you. You know, I've got 6 people now behind me representing
wow.
me in the States.
Wow, that must, and they all want a piece
oh,
of the action,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
So you have to pay for all of them.
Yeah, you know, you need the agent, the manager, the
oh,
attorney,
my God.
The
what
accountant,
are you left with, 10%?
But, you know, but 10% of dollars, you know.
Sure.
Because it really is a case of the more, and it's same in South Africa, but definitely in the States, is the more seriously you take yourself as an actor, the more seriously casting directors and the industry takes you. So you really need a whole team behind you to do it. But yeah, I mean, the States is really, really tough in that sense because, as I said, it works in a referral system. So even though, you know, they'll look at your resume and they'll go, cool, you know, you've worked with Clint Eastwood, you worked with all these amazing people, and the resume is cool and the reel's good and all that. It's still the case of that these casting directors don't know you. You know, they've never met you before. They've never worked with you before. And it's really a case of they first need to go. They first need to get to know you. So it could take, you know, 6 months up to a year to actually get in those doors, to actually get into those rooms, to
right.
actually get those castings. It really is a case of people, casting directors, directors, producers want to work with people that they've worked with before. You know,
it's like a closed network.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things. I mean, I always use the analogy. You know, if I say to you, you've got a choice between 3 dentists to go to, you need to have root canal work done. So, dentist number 1 is a dentist you've been going to for the past 10 years. Dentist number 2 is a dentist that somebody refers to you and they go, oh, this guy is amazing. You know, I've been going to him for years. And then dentist number 3 is somebody you've never heard of, but apparently is quite good. Who are you going to go to?
And you find yourself in category 3 a lot of the time.
We're all in category
yeah.
3. You know, I'm the new kid.
But no wonder. Look, this is why I say acting is hard. And you know, you laughed when I said you're going to come in here and tell people not to go into acting because it really is it's who you know, not what you know, and this is why awards matter so much, right?
It's and absolutely, I mean, you know, for me, you know, absolutely, you know, working on something, you know, like Black Sails, which is, you know, as I say, screened in 175 countries, it's getting good exposure in the States. You know, last year I was nominated for an Emmy for my role in Black Sails. This
fantastic.
Year I've been nominated again. Yeah, and I mean it's that's kind of like sort of daunting and weird in a way because I'm up against like people like Liev Schreiber
yeah.
and like, you know, amazing. But just sort of vaguely even being, you know, considered or even being in the mix.
Emmy nominated is huge.
It is a big deal. I mean, obviously, you know, there's like 150, 200 of us in the category, and then they sort of, you know, break that down to like your final 6. So. But absolutely, being in that mix does help.
But you're one of those final 6.
So, oh, well, we'll see if
jeez,
I make it there.
Come on.
So, but no, it's a tough industry, and it is about keeping at it and working and yeah.
But
it's a business.
But the awards will get you known, and you need to be known so that people will hire you for more work.
Absolutely,
that's the deal.
You know, the industry right now in the States, it's, you know, TV is really, really big. You know, there's amazing TV's
TV. Way bigger than movies right now because, first of all, you get signed up for a 13 season show, which means you've got regular income. It's over a year normally of filming.
Exactly,
you get to really work on your character. It's a long term thing. It's fantastic money because TV's finally making money for people.
Exactly,
that's why you see people like Matthew McConaughey would rather do.
True Detective
than do a movie.
No, exactly. You know, but that sort of makes it difficult for, you know, the kids from South Africa now sort of trying to make it in the States because basically when they're doing a new TV series,
they go for the fucking A-listers.
Well,
right?
The thing is, when absolutely, they look at the movie stars, you know, which movie stars are available.
Yes.
Then they look at the sort of big TV stars who's available.
Uh-huh.
Then they look at all the guys they've worked with before, the already known names. And then once they've sort of gone through that whole list, then they're open to the option of meeting somebody new.
And you would think that a really clever producer or director would go, let's find some unknowns because then we can build these characters from the ground up.
You know, with Black Sails, that is exactly what they did. You know, with the exception of, you know, Zach McGowan, and obviously, you know, Dan Shameless, and,
sure.
and you know, it was quite a big name. The rest of the cast was, you know, relatively unknowns. So, you know, with Black Sails, you know, they started casting with that in 2012, and they were looking sort of for their 12 main actors. And so they, you know, they cast in the States, obviously, and Australia and the UK and South Africa.
Who else
as
from
well.
South Africa is in this that we might know?
In the main cast of the 12 of us, it's 10, you know, 10 Americans, Australians, and Brits, and then myself and Louise Barnes. Louise Barnes is pretty big in this country from Dean Scandal.
So, well, you know, she had, let me look her up. I want to see what she looks like. Is she quite hottie?
Louise is. She's hot. She has to go naked. No.
She has to go naked a lot in this show. Do you have to film naked scenes in this Black Sails?
You know what?
Louise Barnes, not bad.
It was a really, really funny thing. When I signed in for Black Sails, they said to me, I could, you know, my agent sort of sat me down and we had to sign this contract. And she was, okay, Sean, you know, they want to know in detail exactly what are you prepared to do and what aren't you prepared to do. So exactly, you know, what are we allowed to see and what aren't we allowed to see?
What did you say? You can have the whole lot? The whole smorgasbord?
I was like, okay, cool. I'm kind of prepared to do anything to... You know, South African actors are desperate. You know, we would like to do anything for an opportunity.
So you said you'd show it all, huh?
I said that I would basically do anything and everything except with animals.
Wow.
Bestiality wasn't really a
thing. That's a big... you got a very open-ended job card here.
I just couldn't imagine.
So have they taken you up on this yet?
In season two, I do get to be partially naked, but I can't tell you.
Do they show balls? Do they show ass? What are we seeing here?
I can't tell you.
Oh, come on.
I can't tell you. You'll have to watch season two.
I mean, I think a lot of people are nervous about this kind of thing because, you know, South Africa, we've got very conservative culture and maybe we don't necessarily open ourselves up to this stuff. And I think a lot of TV shows are still... For some people, kind of shocking. Like Game of Thrones to some people is very shocking.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Ben and I were complaining that the Khaleesi just doesn't get naked anymore.
Khaleesi's amazing.
Oh. Were you at least offered a naked body double?
Some of
the guy looks like you just with a better ass or whatever.
Yeah, I'm 45. Yeah, I would have never minded it. Dude,
hey, didn't you, speaking of Game of Thrones, you worked with Charles Dance, who's...
Oh, my God.
Tywin Lannister.
There you go. Oh, my God. You know, when I booked her, there was in the Strike Back series. And when I booked the role, they said to me, "You're going to be working with Charles Dance." And I was like, "You know, who the hell's Charles Dance?" And I sort of went into Google and I was like, "Oh my God, it's
that guy,
it's dude from Game of Thrones." And I was really, really nervous and intimidated to actually meet him, you know, and work with him.
But he's a much nicer man than Tywin Lannister.
In person, he is the funniest, sweetest oak in the world. He's one of the most respected, you know, English actors. And on set, you know, he was sort of just telling jokes the whole time and all these anecdotes of the theater and whatever. And I was playing this Polish scientist. And all my dialogue had sort of literally been written the minute I actually arrived there. You know, the director came to me and he went, "Okay, Sean, you know, I want you to say this, and that." I was like, "What?" I grab a pen and paper and, "Okay, you want me to do Polish accent and do this and whatever." And we on set and every time, like before a take.
So it's like improv.
And absolutely. And every time before a take, you know, Charles was, "Oh, darling, let me tell you about the theatre. You know, it was such a wonderful experience." And I was like, "Charles, can you please just shut the hell up? I'm trying to learn my
lines."
So
he's a real theatre guy.
Oh, no, absolutely.
More than anything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it was an amazing, amazing opportunity to work with him. But that's actually been like the big thing for me is, you know, as I said earlier, you know, to grow as an actor, to learn, to get the experience of, you know, working with, you know, with people like Clint Eastwood or Charles Dance or Kiefer Sutherland. Because as South African actors, yeah, sure, you know, we get lots of opportunities over here because we've got, you know, the majority of work being shot here is stuff that's coming from the States or the UK. So we as South Africans, we're getting the opportunity in this country to work opposite these guys and really sort of test ourselves to, you know, to sort of see, you know, can we actually hold our own against these guys? And so that for me has been the big thing.
That's terrific.
I did this movie 2 years ago, which we actually shot here in Joburg, called The Challenger Disaster. I got the opportunity to work opposite William Hurt. And I mean, he's also like one of those legends, you know. And,
is that about the Challenger explosion?
Exactly, the 1986, you know, where the Challenger exploded basically on liftoff and the whole sort of inquiry into it. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, you know, working opposite William Hurt, and the guy's intimidating, but an amazing actor, but very, very sort of method, you know, he sort of
You just said that you worked on this Strike Back series, and you were given lines by the director just before you went on and
literally 3 minutes before the time.
So you have to put on an accent, plus you have to remember your lines. Now, I cannot remember 3 lines of a piece of paper I've just seen. How do you memorize a script? How do you get that into you? Because it's a skill. I mean, it's something you either can or can't do. How do you get that right?
You know, when you're working, let's say, for a long time on a soapy or a TV series, it actually becomes easier. Or you're working on a movie for, you know, quite a long period, you know, a month or two. It's quite easy because once you... It's usually within the sort of first week of film, and you sort of climb into the head of who the character is, and then once you figure that out, the dialogue actually comes kind of easy to you. To actually learning those lines is actually really easy because you kind of know what the character is going to say and how they're going to react to stuff. But when you're literally walking onto a TV series or a movie, and it's only, you know, for a couple of days, it depends on the role. Like my first day on set on Black Sails, I had a 3.5-page monologue. With Louise Barnes, and it was my first time on a, you know, proper American full-on multi, you know, million-dollar international movie set.
You must have been so nervous.
Because
you want to be prepared as an actor, right? You want to go onto the set, you want to know your lines, you want to deliver. You don't want to let anybody down.
But at the same time, you know, this is the American TV industry is it's a very well-oiled machine, so it kind of. You know, the way that you look, what you're wearing, the way that you talk, the way that you walk, everything has already been predetermined. And also you've got your sort of video village of like 15 people watching monitors. So you've got your writers are there, you've got your producers over there. So you've basically got 15 people, 15, 20 people watching you and commenting and giving notes on it.
But that's even more nerve-wracking.
Oh, no, absolutely, absolutely. So it is. But the cool thing, Gareth, is that when the camera rolls and you just take a deep breath and you just go for it, and afterwards you're able to do it and you didn't fluff your lines, it is the coolest feeling in the world because you go, okay, cool. I'm actually getting somewhere. I can actually do this. I can hold mine. I can do this thing. And that's cool.
But you screw it up. It's horrendous.
I mean, of course, I mean, on Strike Back.
You must have felt terrible.
I mean, of course, I mean, on Strike Back with Charles Dance, as I say, you know, Charles, before each take, you know, he was
messing laughing. Around.
He was messing around. And so we go for the first take and they go, and action. Now, this is Strike Back. So we've got 3 helicopters. We've got like 100 soldiers busy marching. We've got army trucks. And the whole thing is a sort of walk and talk, you know, camera handheld and me and Charles busy walking.
No room for error.
No room for error.
Because you've got millions being spent on every second.
There we go. And they go, action. And I turn to Charles and I'm thinking, I have no idea what my first word is. And I'm looking at him and he's looking at me and I'm going like, sorry, can we reset? Can we go again? But it was cool. It was fine. It's kind of one of those things.
Does Charles Dance look at you and go, you fucking South African?
God, these bloody South Africans. We should have brought somebody from the UK or something. Mm. No, it's kind of one of those things. It's almost like you kind of need to mess up the first take. Because once you've got that out the way, then it's cool. Then you can actually relax and chill and actually have fun with it.
You worked with Ava Green, who I have to tell you, there are very few women who manage to make every scene so exciting. I mean, I watched her on this
Penny Dreadful.
What a great show. I mean, she, even when she's in a horror scene, she's sexy. What an incredible woman. What is she like in person? Come on, tell me she is the foxiest, nicest, most beautiful, awesome girl in the world.
to be
completely... Don't spoil this for me. If you tell me she smells of farts and she doesn't brush her hair, I'm going to be very angry.
Gareth, the sad thing, I never actually got to meet...
What?
She wasn't on set by the time I got on set, so she wasn't there. She had already finished shooting.
Right, Damon, that's the end of the interview. Tell Sean to leave.
Mads Mikkelsen, however. Mads Mikkelsen from Hannibal. I mean, you know, got to work with him for 2 weeks. Evergreen is amazing, though. I mean, she is incredible, and would have loved to work with her. But she never had one line of dialogue in Salvation because
that was the movie you were in.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Also, which you shot in Joburg, because she her character's mute, so she doesn't open her mouth. Which some of her
unbelievable, right?
But she's gorgeous.
That's quite a challenging act
to actually, you know, do that. Yeah, yeah.
Pull that off as a mute.
So would love to work in something like Penny Dreadful. My God, yeah.
You did Safe House, which is quite awesome. You were Ryan Reynolds' landlord.
Mm.
Um, Do you think Ben looks like Ryan Reynolds?
This is just Casper who really thinks this.
No, well, someone said the other day he does.
Ryan Reynolds, I mean, Ryan Reynolds is like sort of 6 foot five. Or something. The guy's
already
flipping,
very tall.
He's tall. He's flipping tall. But actually, the nicest guy on the planet.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
So we are very similar then.
Oh. Please.
He's really a cool guy. You know, I mean, yeah. I was playing his landlord. So like in the beginning of the movie, how the movie sort of starts, you know, he's sort of looking after the safe house, and basically what happens, all these phone calls come in, and it's his landlord calling him and saying, look, you know, the shit's hitting the fan. You know, you have to get ready. Denzel Washington's on the way, or whatever. And that we all should, you know, shot on set live with him. And Ryan was so cool. I mean, he's like, you know, this A-list movie star, and you know, he came up to him and was like, hey, how's it going? I'm Ryan, whatever. And he was like, he was really, really friendly, really down to earth.
So then not everybody behaves like Christian Bale and throws tantrums on set.
Ah, man.
I mean, are there any A-listers that you've worked with who are kind of douchey?
You know what?
Any diva-like behavior, I think.
You know what? I mean, it's... I think when somebody loses their temper or is, you know, full of shit and said, it comes from fear. You know, it's either insecurity. It's usually actually your young 20-something, the sort of newbies to the sort of scene. They, you know, sometimes there's
you
a lot of
you would never
attitude.
See that from Denzel. Tell the truth. I'm sensing Denzel's a little bit above everyone else.
Well,
he doesn't mix with you guys. You don't sit and have coffee together. None of that stuff,
I mean,
right?
Well, you know, he's like sort of, you know, on safe house, he's sort of had like sort of a, you know, cordoned off sort of area and like with all these bodyguards and whatever. So
oh, wow.
it's difficult to. But even William Hurt, you know, with a lot of these movies, especially when these actors are like very, very method. In Challenger Disaster, you know, William Hurt's playing this guy who's dying. You know, the character's constantly in pain. In the case of Challenger Disaster, I mean, William Hurt really had to sort of climb inside that character in his very, very method. So he would arrive on set already in the world of, you know, Richard Feynman. So William Hurt wasn't around. You know, and there was a lot of attitude. There was a lot of, you know, stuff going on.
Don't you think this is a complete overindulgence? I mean, I understand method acting. You have to get into the character and all the rest of it. But I hear about William Hurt doing this, and I hear about Daniel Day-Lewis making people call him Mr. President when he's on the Lincoln set. It's bullshit, right?
You know what?
Did you have to say to William Hurt, are you in pain? Are you suffering? When you saw him off the set?
You know the nicest thing was that I'd become really, really friendly with one of the British actors. And on Challenger Disaster, Kevin McNally, who's like done all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Okay.
Kevin and William Bill were busy chatting, and William said to him, you know, look, you know, I'm sorry if I've been like a bit of a prick on set, but this is who I am as an actor. I don't actually know how to do it any other way. You know, this is my process. You know, this is how I do it.
Oh, wow.
And so the fact that he actually apologized and acknowledged that, you know, that he was a little bit, you know, sort of tricky to work with in that sense, and that's sort of putting it nicely. So in that sense, I actually don't mind. If there is a bit of attitude and there is a bit of stuff, if they deliver, then it's cool.
There's definitely a pecking order, right? So you work on Safe House with Denzel.
Hmm.
Denzel's the top guy. He doesn't eat with you guys. He's got his own special little cordoned off area, you say, with bodyguards. He doesn't mix with the peasants. Then you've got Ryan Reynolds level. That's like just under Denzel. He's also special. Also kind of keeps away, but he'll be a little more accessible. And then you guys hang around with the crew. You eat with the cameraman and the guy who's holding the boom mic and that kind of thing, right?
You know what? I mean, years ago, they were doing a movie in South Africa called The Deal with Meg Ryan and William H. Macy. Major
yes.
fan of William H. Macy. And I was actually helping the casting director at the time, Anna Fader. She was doing the local casting on the movie, and I was actually helping her, you know, reading in studio. And I got to meet Bill Macy and Meg Ryan and the guys, and they asked me to do, you know, script read-through with them. And then William H. Macy said to me, look, you know, please won't you be my stand-in in the movie and like my photo double in the movie. And I was like, there was like a part of me was like, that's sort of beneath me, I don't really do stand-in work. But this is, you know, William H. Macy, and I'm like a major fan of
so you
me,
said
so
sure.
I said of course, I want to work with you, I want to watch, I want to learn.
And is that normally not the kind of job you would take? It is beneath you?
No.
Come on, tell the truth.
Dude, like when you're starting out in the industry, you'll do anything. You know, you'll do anything. Okay. And I absolutely...
I don't know how it works. Man, I'm just asking.
And I wanted to work with them. And Meg Ryan, she was very, you know, you're sort of talking about, you know, some American actors can be sort of, you know, in their
standoffish,
own
yeah.
I think it's about trust. You know, they come into Africa, they don't know us as South African actors. And once they see, I think like in the case of Meg Ryan, I think once she saw that me and like Bill Macy were sort of chatting and we were laughing because he's like the most down to earth person on the planet, and so the minute she saw that, you know, Bill's
then she wanted in,
then it's okay, cool, he's fine, you know, he's okay. Not going to go to the paparazzi and go you know, talk on there on the Gareth Cliff show and talk about, you know. So I think it's really about trust, you know, if they know that they can trust
I heard
you,
that on that set that you and Meg Ryan, you banged each other senseless. Is that true?
No. You know what I'm saying? So it's really about trust. I think, yeah, maybe the Americans have trust issues. I don't know.
Matt Damon in Invictus, good guy. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, quite a strange guy. You know, in one sense, like very sort of businesslike, very, very sort of formal, but at the same time, also very relaxed. Matt Damon, also really, really, really down to earth. You know, in Invictus, you know, he obviously he had to have this relationship and this camaraderie, you know, with his fellow rugby players. You know?
And you were the Springbok manager.
Yeah, right? I was one of the Springbok managers. So, I mean, that was cool. I mean, obviously working with Eastwood and obviously, you know, Matt Damon, yeah. You know, the thing is he had to be, you know, really friendly with all of us because he had to very quickly, in a very short space of time, become one of the South Africans. You know, he's been
to be France, a proper one of the manna. Yeah,
one of the manna, whatever, you know. And it was really, really funny trying to, you know, sort of help him with his like sort of South African accent. He was pretty good at the South African accent, but trying
was
to get
he
him.
Always, yeah, he was all right.
He was okay, but he was no flank. I mean, his performance in the field was woeful.
His stunt double was amazing.
He missed tackles.
Tell me, Clint Eastwood. They tell me he's the most amazing movie maker.
You know, he's got a team of people that he's been working with. You know, Stephen Campanelli, who's actually just recently now in South Africa, shot a movie, Momentum. You know, him and Stephen Campanelli have been working together. You know, they did Changeling together. They've done all these, you know, Oscar-winning movies together. So when Mr. Eastwood, you know, comes on his set...
Does he talk at you through the side of his mouth?
You know, he's...
Are you going to do this, or do I have to force you?
I really think we should, you know, do it like this.
Yeah.
What actually happened was, it was really funny on Invictus. Day one of shooting, you know, we had a really, you know, they had a pretty cool screenplay. And day one of filming, they'd, you know, assigned, you know, certain, you know, we had, like, sort of real rugby players.
Yeah.
You know, who were now playing characters, and they'd been, like, giving dialogue. And, like, so day one of filming, you know, Clint comes on his set and goes, okay, you know, let's do a rehearsal of the scene, you know. And then you've got these, you know, South African rugby players, and they're going, hey, Francois, let's go practice on the field. And like Clint was, oh my God, this is a fuck up.
Did he say that? That's so funny.
No, he never. He was like, we're gonna have to rethink this.
It
was like, okay, guys, just talk amongst yourselves, you know, talk about the game. And from that point onwards, what they basically did, obviously, you know, the rugby matches, you know, those were, you know, choreographed in those
rooms.
But all the conversational, you know, scenes between, you know, teammates or whatever, really what they would do is Clint would just go up to the guys and go, you know, talk about this match or talk about that. And then the camera, you would never hear action, you would never hear cut. They would literally just have the camera and they'd be going around and just sort of picking up bits and pieces of conversations.
And they'd use whatever they could.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how you got around that.
But nice of Clint to not make us look like douchebags. That's good.
But he was, yeah, I mean, he had such a controlled set. You know, we never worked more than 9-10 hours on set. He never lost his temper or screamed once. You know, it was a very, very controlled, easygoing set. So the man knows his stuff.
Now, I loved that TV series 24. It's one of the best series ever. Man. Incredible, right? Kiefer Sutherland, Jack Bauer.
What an amazing guy, hey?
You played this horribly spineless, ridiculous loser.
Man, yeah, I mean, I was this French union worker, and I was also like a, you know, major fan of 24, and also once again like really intimidated, you know, to work with Kiefer. But really, you know, when I auditioned for that, and oh my God, I mean, I was like really up against like every single flipping actor in South Africa for that role,
sure,
you know, the big boys, and you know, other actors that are like are really
Actors in South Africa since you brought it up? Who are the people you encounter at castings almost every time?
It'll be me, Langley Kirkwood, Grant Swanby, Nick Berain, Jeremy Crutchley, You know, those are the kind of boys, you know, that I'll bump into at concerts.
Have you ever tried to poison their coffee? Ever tried to push them down the stairs?
You know what? You know what?
Get them into a knife fight where their faces get cut up. No?
It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. You know, we all know that, you know, okay, cool. Okay, damn, he got that job that I wanted. The bastard. I hate his guts. Yeah. But then, you know, tomorrow I'll get a job that they want. You know, so, I mean, like, you know, getting 24, I think I felt maybe a couple of knives in my back.
Sure. Know, when I hated you. In fact, I got a call here from, who did you say? Crutchley's on the line.
You, you bastard son of a bitch. Take my role.
You fucker. Yeah. No, I mean.
It's gone. No,
but.
Didn't want to stick around.
Man, yeah, I mean, Keith, I mean, you know, working on 24 and also, you know, Robert Carlyle, you know, I mean, done like full Monty, I mean, working with, you know, with him as well. It was really, really amazing. But once again, a very, very, you know, those guys came out to South Africa. It was in between season 6 and season 7.
And what happened was there was the writer's strike.
Exactly.
So they needed to get out of America.
They can you good, man.
I know my stuff. Yeah. I was such a fan of that show that I knew exactly what was going on. I used to go on and read like the behind-the-scenes stuff to try and figure it out. I am such a Jack Bauer fan. Now, there's so many movies and series here. We could talk about, oh my God, all the stuff you've done on CakeNet, the soap operas. I wonder what the best one was. What do you feel like the most exciting one was that you've done?
I actually did a movie for Richard van den Berg called Faith Like Potatoes.
Oh, that's about the Angus Buchan. Right.
Ferguson, Angus
did you Buchan, play him?
I played his brother, Fergus Buchan.
Fergus Buchan.
Yeah, who in the story.
He's a real guy. You met him?
Yeah, I did, yeah. He's actually a golfer. But anyway, in the story of Faith Like Potatoes, basically what happens is Angus Buchan, it's a true story. You know, he took his brother's son, who was like, you know, a little kid, you know, like, you know, 6-7 years old, and they sort of went for a ride on the tractor on the farm or whatever, and then the kid fell off the tractor and he drove over the kid and killed him.
Right, he put him through the combine harvest.
God, man, it was horrible. Horrible. But
accidents happen.
Oh my God, he was only 6 years old. You guys couldn't have bonded that much. No.
So, all right.
It was horrible.
You played the dad of the kid who went through the...
Yeah. So that was an amazing experience. The movie did really well.
It was big with a certain kind of Christian
faith-based.
Yeah, sure. So they love it because they go in these man camps and they probably forced everyone to watch it.
The Mighty Men. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I think it's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard of.
It's kind of strange. It's quite.
Did you have to go to one of those?
No. Thank goodness.
You met Angus?
I did meet. You know, he was actually, you know, really, he was actually quite a nice guy. But,
I've heard so.
But
except when he's in control of the tractor,
man. God, girl. But you know, some of the he's horrible. You're horrible, man. Shame, man.
Well,
I suppose, you know, he does have these sort of, you know, really sort of conservative, maybe sort of old-fashioned values. You know, the woman, you know, the woman's place is in the kitchen, and and all that sort of thing. But for a lot of people out there, it helps.
So
it
why
helps
did you them. Enjoy this project so much?
Just because it was a really, really emotional role to play. Oh, okay. And so that was kind of, you know, demanding in that sense.
Do you feel when you're playing a dramatic role that it's more, you get taken more seriously as an actor? Because comedy is just as hard.
Yeah, I mean, I really haven't done a lot of comedy. I think that is. I think comedy is probably.
Do you want to do more comedy?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a pretty
serious guy. What's your story? Are you single? Are you got children? What's the story?
Single boy. Actors are selfish. Actors are, you know, we live these kind of lives where, you know, my career has always been, you know, whether I'm going to Joburg.
What was the last relationship we had? Come on, level with me. Tell me what happened.
3 months ago?
3 months? So you're just recently single.
Relationships are difficult. Relationships are difficult, especially...
How long's the longest one you had recently?
Oh, God.
Come on.
I'm on Dr. Ruth. Longest relationship, a year.
A year? That's a short amount of time. I'm thinking commitment issues.
It's difficult. It's
you've not met the right person?
I think...
Ever been in love?
Of course.
Okay. Well, you know, some people never felt love. I don't know what that's like.
Man, I think for me, yeah, I mean, I I think, you know, when I was like sort of, you know, as a kid, like, you know, my parents got divorced when I was 7, and my sister's been married twice and my brother's been married, you know, it's...
So you're a little jaded about
the idea. Yeah, I have sort of, I don't have a lot of...
But you're not a bitter and twisted, miserable...
No, you're kidding me. No, no, of course.
All right.
I'm a hopeless romantic.
You are?
Yeah.
Ever had one of these actors, actresses make a pass at you? Yeah. You're going to be picked up by some famous A-lister?
Ah, man, it's the first rule. Don't mix business and pleasure, man.
Never.
Never.
But look at Brad Pitt and Angelina. They fell in love. They mixed business with pleasure. They've adopted 3,000 children.
Oh, man, it's always funny on a movie set or a TV set, you'll inevitably sort of find maybe someone, one of the crew guys, one of the actresses or somebody, like, sort of getting together, and that'll be like in the first week, and then they still need to work together for like for another 2 months. So it's like week two, it's Meg Ryan.
If Meg Ryan had hit on you remorselessly, you would have taken her up on it, of course, because you get to be with Meg Ryan.
Oh, man. So South Africans are so, we are so concerned. Conservative, man.
Are you conservative? Is that what you're saying?
We're very, very careful. I had
a tongue kiss with Julianne Moore once. I'm not making that up.
Isn't she the hottest?
Are you kidding?
That's not Magnolia. What movie is it?
If she had stayed, I mean, I must have been really terrible, or else she was just fooling. I still believe that she probably does this with lots of people, because she can. She's powerful that way. She's very in control of her sexuality, you know. She's aware of like how much power she has. And I think I was just the right toy at the right time. And then she turned around and she was gone. Gone. It was at one of these after parties at the Oscars in 2004.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. I don't know.
You would have gone there with Meg Ryan. Don't lie.
Meg Ryan. Meg's a bit odd, hey?
Not?
She's
What's odd about her?
You know, the funny thing is, you know, Meg Ryan is this like sort of typical American like sort of country girl, you know, with this sort of long blonde sort of curly hair. Yeah. But you know, the thing with Meg Ryan, you know, when she walks into a room, you know, she's like one of the most famous actresses in the world. You know, when Harry Met Sally, you know,
sure.
Everybody knows her.
Absolutely.
So
is it too much pressure there?
She's pretty. You know, she's very, very much guarded. In that sense, you know, she's like an iconic actress in that sense.
Yeah,
So she's a very, very, you know, very difficult to sort of get close to that. But Julianne Moore, that's a different story. I mean, she's amazing.
What about these situations? I mean, where do you live most of the time? Are you in Cape Town? Are you in LA? Where do you spend most of the time?
I mean, it's most of my life I've been in Cape Town. You know, I've been in Cape Town or up here in Joburg.
Have you made decent money out of acting?
I think that's actually, I mean, that's the reason why I've, you know, now got the green card and I'm looking at the whole American thing, because, you know, as South African actors, you can, unless you're doing like maybe a soapy for like 20 years or whatever, you can get yourself a nice car and a nice house.
I'm guessing it's not regular income.
No, absolutely. Of course not. You know, you can do
TV project series. By project.
Exactly. You know, so, and you know, it really is this like sort of graph that sort of goes up and down. So, as an actor in South Africa, you know, you're surviving, you're paying the rent, and, you know, you go through some great months, and you go through some tough months. But you're never, ever going to become rich as an actor in South Africa. And there's also a ceiling as an actor in South Africa. You can only earn so much, because you get paid, you know, like a daily call, be on a TV series or a movie,
so
and that's
tell,
it.
So tell the truth. If some kid comes up to you and they go, you know what, Sean, I want to know, is it worth me going into acting? What are you going to tell that kid? Let's say you actually care about him or her.
If it really genuinely is something that you believe, you know, that you're passionate about, that you love, that you really, you know, I was very lucky as a kid, because I knew, you know, this is what I want to do. And so there was never ever a choice. But absolutely, if it's something that they're really passionate about, they really, really want to do, I would still say absolutely, you know, finish school, try and get like, you know, a degree or diploma, you know, try and get that sort of, you know, behind your name if you can afford it. If you can get that behind your name. But it's a tough industry. I mean, when I'm in Cape Town, in between like projects, when I'm not working, I'm also coaching young actors. I'm working with young actors and sort of helping them with the audition process, or, you know, the business of acting and all that. And I'm very straight with them. I'm very, you know, this is what the industry is, and this is how, you know, the process works. So I'm very supportive of you know young actors wanting to get into the business. But as I said before, you know, if you're after fame and fortune,
give it up.
You know, because as I said, you know, that's a temporary thing. That's not the industry.
What's the big dream for you here? Because if you go to LA now, let's say you do another season of this Black Sail, how many seasons are they still going to do? I mean,
they've just finished season 3.
Yeah.
Are
you in this one?
I'm not. I finished season 2.
Did they kill you?
I can't say.
Yes, you can, because it's been on everywhere else in the world and people have already downloaded it.
He died in his biggest sex scene ever.
You died. Really?
I left season 2 in the most spectacular, glorious way. I'll say that.
So did they burn you in a fire?
Something more spectacular than that.
They stabbed you in the heart. Why, they put you on a cross.
What? No, I never said that. You've been reading the Twitter feeds.
I'm reading ahead. Well, look, I'm very excited to see this show because I think we'll see a lot of South Africans in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I think out of a cast of like 500 actors, I think about 480 of them were South Africans.
Fantastic. You think there's going to be, I mean, there already is. There's a lot of positive news coming out of the South African film industry.
Mm.
A lot more productions being made here because there are, it's costing a whole lot less. There are tax breaks for international film crews.
It's cheaper.
It makes sense, right? So would it be worth going to LA or would it be worth sticking it out here?
I think it's about opportunity. As I said earlier, I mean, there's a ceiling that you reach as an actor in this country about, you know, what you can earn a day on a movie, you know, and whether that is, you know, 5,000 rand a day or 6,000 or 8,000 rand a day, you know, you're never ever going to earn anything more than that. You know, as a young actor starting out, you may be looking at maybe, you know, 2 grand or 3 grand a day, which sounds a lot, but usually you're only talking about, you know, a couple of days in a movie or a TV series, and then
you can't live on that.
You know, and obviously there's still tax and commission on top of that. So, and also the kind of parts that you're going up for. You know, inevitably they'll bring their main cast over to South Africa. So we're playing like the barman and the waiter and the neighbor.
Yeah, crappy little bit parts.
You know, I mean, just in the 4 months that I was in the States, I mean, for the first time in my life, you know, got this really, really awesome manager who's a total, what's a nice word? Is it Ari Gold from like Entourage?
Oh.
Like this like really, really hardcore dude.
I got you. But you need those people. They fight for
you. They're the guys who are going to sort of basically break down those doors and get you in those doors. And I mean, in the 4 months that I was there, I mean, you know, my manager would, you know, send me the screenplay for the new Tom Cruise movie and say, cool, you know, we're looking at you maybe like for the support lead opposite Tom. Have a look at the screenplay, sort of see which scenes you want to maybe put on tape for it. Now, those kind of opportunities, Gareth, I've never got in South Africa in all the time that I've been working here. I'm not saying that
your heart skip a beat when you see that.
Are you kidding me? I mean, yeah, I got to audition for the new Tom Cruise movie called Mina. Got to audition for the new Matthew McConaughey movie called Gold. You know, so usually as a South African actor, you know, they'll send you your script sides, maybe like 2 or 3 pages, and you're really going into that quite blind because you don't really know what the whole thing's about. So just getting those kind of auditions, just being seen by those casting directors,
you gotta go
is
there,
an amazing opportunity.
You got to take your chance. You've got to get over there and make it happen, right?
Absolutely.
And how are we doing? Because time is not always on your side if you're not in your 20s in Hollywood.
I definitely, for me, I couldn't have done this in my 20s. I couldn't have. I would have, you know, for me to rock up in the States and go, hello, nobody in South Africa knows who I am or you know, I've done
it. Hey, you got to stop with that. We don't all sound like that. Okay. It's very embarrassing. Ben, for example, says that he only started sounding like that after 1 or 2 years at Cape Town and then he left.
Pretty much, yeah.
Man, I genuinely couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it in my 20s. Now in my 40s, now I feel more confident. You know, I've worked on some really, really cool projects. I've worked with some cool actors and directors and that. So now I feel that I can actually do the States. I've got that confidence to meet with directors and producers, to go out for projects and know, well, I've done this before. I can do it again.
Wow.
You know, and all these guys, all these directors, all these big names, they're just ordinary people. Well, they genuinely
listen,
are.
If you've got Clint Eastwood as your director on your CV, you've done as many shows as you have. What can I say? You've said it all.
Yeah, I mean,
this is amazing.
It's I'm lucky, dude. I'm really lucky in that sense to be doing what I love.
I think I think it's tremendous. There are very few actors who've done as much work as you have, and I think it's awesome that we get to see someone doing as well as this.
Oh, thanks.
I just hope that the new Tom Cruise movie that you get to convert Tom Cruise from Scientology, you'll be doing the world a favor. That's all. Listen, Sean, thank you so much for coming to see us.
Thanks so much, Gareth, man.
Very, very interesting, man. What an interesting career you've had. Sean Cameron Michael, our guest this morning. Isn't that cool? Huh, Ben?
It's a fascinating life. It really is.
You want to get into acting?
No, I don't.
No. Marcy, are you convinced?
I just don't think I have the looks for it. And it's also just hard work.
I can't wait for us to see this show that's Black showing sales. In 170 odd countries. And you say Black it's coming sales. In 2 months.
2 months.
On it.
Okay.
History Channel.
We love series. We love series. We're going to watch it.
We love series and we debate series on the show like every day.
It's a major cool, talking
man.
Point.
No, it's cool, man. It's season one's pretty awesome and season two.
In Black Sails, do we have a lot of action?
It's Michael Bay, hey? So
it's action.
There's lots of action, lots of sex, lots of nudity.
Oh, you're winning.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean for adults.
Very nice.
Nice.
I'm thinking this is the kind of show we could all get into.
Yeah. No,
Thank you so much, Sean. CliffCentral.com.